Everyone, you'll be good because
In the early evening, at a building in the Milwaukee suburb of Wauwatosa, about a dozen clergy abuse victims take their seats. They talk about a variety of things, health and social doings, and legislative strategy. Eventually, the group gets used to having a microphone and visitor in the room, and some victims start to talk about their memories of being abused by Catholic clergy. Michael Sneesby says a priest abused him as a youth.
This is a priest that abused me not only outside of the church walls, but actually behind the altar, telling me I had pushed Jesus and that I would burn in hell for it.
Another man, Joe, says in order to cope, he began to distort the image of his abuser.
And the guy had access to me during meetings or whatever, and it was me against that fucking demon. I saw the devil, and the devil had a white collar, and he wore black.
There are women in the support group as well. Melissa says she was abused by a nun, and the incidents have given her feelings of guilt.
I mean, I really remember feeling like I had ruined the sister's vocation. And it took me years to figure out that that wasn't the case. And I think it's one of the most difficult things for people to deal with. And that's a lot of what leads to the depression and the low self-esteem and all those other issues.
Another woman, Mary Beth, says she was abused by a priest while in parochial school. She says, as in a lot of cases, her abuser abused others.
The perpetrator knew what he was doing. My parents knew what he was doing. The pastor at my church knew what he was doing. I knew what he was doing. And I told a couple other teachers at my school. So at least six adults knew what was happening to me. Now, the only thing that was good for me, which sucked for someone else, was that my perpetrator was moved. He got moved to another parish and did the same thing. And I know he did the same thing because I met his victims.
Peter Isley heads the Milwaukee chapter of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. He says one reason the church helped abusive clergy members move around is that the leaders got caught up with the feelings of power.
That's human nature. It's like when they're waging whatever it is that they're supposed to be doing, if it's waging war, or waging business, or waging religion in the case of ministers and priests, that they're outside the possibility of committing evil. So when they do the same thing that outsiders do, it's not a crime or an error, and I've read enough of these files and talked to enough, it's a mistake.
Another support group member, Grace, says some churchgoers go along with that feeling because they want to believe the church is good.
I think they want that so much that they're willing to just, you know, put up all these, no matter how, if they were sitting right here and heard your stories personally, they wouldn't want to believe it.
Others in the support group say some lay Catholics are very angry with the church, but that even some of those people don't think they can do much to take on the church hierarchy. Critics of the measure that's before a legislative committee today say there's good reason to feel skeptical about church promises. When the support group met in early summer, SNAP leader Peter Isley was optimistic and joked about some last-minute weakening of the bill.
You never know. I mean, you know, it could get to the 11th hour and, I don't know, a call from the Pope. And suddenly we got, you know, a different situation. So.
Church officials didn't wait until the last minute to push for changes in the abuse bill. During the summer, they convinced legislators to greatly weaken the ability of victims to take their abusers to civil court and to expose past abusers. State lawmakers, who often portray themselves as the champions of crime victims, now have to decide if they can believe church promises that the abuse issue is under control and that the church is meeting with and helping those who were affected. Or lawmakers can take note of the recent abuse settlements in Boston and do something more for the Wisconsin people who say they clearly remember what happened to them.
Mike Sneesby, and it was a priest.
Mary Beth, that was a priest.
Melissa, that was a nun.
Grace, a nun.
Bob Ruffalo, it was a priest.
Mary Gettner, a sister while I was in high school and college.
John Gillespie was a priest. Joe Light was a priest.
Peter Isley was a Capuchin priest.
Robert Kaminsky was a priest.